That night, when Nicodemus came to the dirt poor streets of Jerusalem to hear the man named Jesus, is like a night many of us are experiencing right now. I'm going to come back to that. I used to think that being born of the Spirit as born again, that was my beginning evangelical theology, where praying a prayer made the soul cross some mystical threshold from not saved into being saved. A one-and-done kind of transformation. It was and is a limited, and I believe inaccurate, way of interpreting what Jesus had to say in that scripture. When I think of actual childbirth, I realize everything I'm about to say, I'm saying as a man who has only watched. I think of incredible pain and then joy, hope, and possibility of new life. Contractions and ripping, blood and all sorts of bodily fluids, and then this tiny thing arrives, the epitome of beginning. So what if being born of the Spirit is something more like that? But not just one and done. In my experience, being born anew, the pain and the beginning, is an ongoing series of births, at least it is in my life, repeatedly over the years, multiple instances of ripping pain and rushes of joy, hope, and possibility. I sat across from my psychiatrist the other day lamenting that I'm so tired of new birth, new beginnings. And yet, since the inauguration back in January, I really feel myself having significant contractions again. We tend to think of Nicodemus as a man of privilege because Jesus was talking to and spending his days and nights with the ragtag poor. And Nicodemus stood out. He had his good suit on. He had good speech, had education. The general belief is that at least 10 of Jesus' closest apostles probably could not read or write, as was true of 99% of the populace in ancient Israel. But that may be truly unimportant, because when what Nicodemus was coming from on his side of town was a mess, the rich side of town, much like the one we're in. Pontius Pilate, Herod, Caiaphas were in charge of the nation's life, and it was a rather recent arrangement when you go back into history that had brought the three of them together. They were, if you forgive me for saying this, but this is just where my brain goes, they were the Bannon, Sessions, and Trump of first century Jerusalem. It would be hard to say now who would be which then, but together they possessed the disdain for human suffering, the elitism, the willingness to inflict a lot more suffering and displacement in order to establish their idea of order, and the greed that are at work in the operating cohort of our time. They posture, at least Sessions and Trump do, as men of faith, basing their faith on 2 Corinthians. But Bannon openly disdains all of that, just as Pilate disdained faith in favor of brute force, just as he enjoyed cruelty, pinning the blame on almost anybody else, while providing the muscle Herod and Caiaphas needed to stay in charge. Nicodemus was a really decent man. He had been working, one might argue, in government and high religious structures for probably all of his life, always with hope that things would get better, that people would finally pull together in the values that were central to Judaism and preserve the culture and life of their nation. Lately, though, and especially since Pilate had arrived on the scene, even Nicodemus's optimism was flagging. You can't read the Bible without watching the news at the same time. They just go hand in hand. Nicodemus kept hearing rumors about this man Jesus out in the outcountry. Rumors carried by hard and bitter men who were usually at his ear asking him to rid them of this Roman and the fake king. Rumors carrying hope, hope he hadn't heard from his contacts in years. Out Nicodemus went then to listen for himself, half disbelieving, half aching to find what he had heard was true. And when Nicodemus asked Jesus, appealing to his powers of wisdom, what he had to do to survive this mess that the nation was in, Jesus said he had to stop believing his roots in the system were going to sustain him. And instead, he had to root himself in something entirely separate from that, in God. He had to be born again, born from above. And it wasn't going to be from his ancestors, his father, or from his lineage to Abraham. It wasn't going to have to do with any of his relatives, his professors, that a way through the wilderness of sin and corruption could be found in his time. Previous connections were now suspect. Nicodemus had to root himself now in his faith, not in its interpretation by men who were making their lives by supporting the throne, the Roman governor, and the administration that had brought together this reign of powers. As I was reading the scripture this week, I couldn't help but ponder the likes of Franklin Graham and the far-right American Christianity leaders. Can they be trusted in their quest for power and influence in this administration? I think they need to check where their roots are. Jesus, who in so many ways had separated himself from the kind of the babble of the temple and the religious speak of his day, was speaking from, really live stream, from the spirit of the one who had led the people through and out of slavery and into freedom, through wilderness and into this land, the one who could lead them out of bondage again, preserving them in a vision of life apart from those perverted powers and their desecrations. And astonished, in this that reading from John, Nicodemus is just, huh? He stammers his buts. But how is this possible? But who can I trust? But what about everything I've built my life over through the years? But Jesus, how can this be? And Jesus presses him onward and says, the wind blows where it will, and you do not know where it comes from. Nicodemus, a man who traces the lines of order carefully, is terrified of the wind that blows where it will, the wind whose origin is in the unknowable, knowable one. I'm terrified. For like Nicodemus, my roots have always been in the tradition of being a professional clergy and academics, American democracy. This tradition of considered process, debated truth, measured steps. What Jesus is urging is outside the boundaries of what I easily understand and have my security, what I have my pension in. Am I then impatient for the powers to be, the elected wise ones, the Senate, the courts, the rest, to reach a point of overthrowing what I consider to be our miserable leaders? Well, yes and no. If I'm reluctant, how can I be impatient with them? Do I foresee the sacrifice of good women and men to the so-called justice of the current administration's idea of who belongs and how that is determined? Issues of religious priority being granted rather than trusting in religious liberty? And also along with the issues surrounding immigration and education, they worry me constantly, along with those 20 million people teetering on the edge of starvation that we're not responding to. The wind is often calling us into the streets. I witness to the wind of the Spirit. Yet many others who do so frighten me by their intensity, I must admit. Last night, we had a wedding here of one of our newest church couples, Matthew and Jesse Craig. And as I drove home, I got behind a car bearing the bumper sticker that said, "All who voted for Trump are guilty of hate crimes." I cringe at this harsh, unfair, merciless hate from the left. The left where I also stand. No wonder Nicodemus was astonished, I think, at Jesus' free associations and Jesus' freedom from systemic restraint. We are all Nicodemuses. The truth is blowing in the wind, and that terrifies us. And in the halls of honor, there are alternate facts, blurring of truth. Falsehood has muddied our collective national wisdom. Like Nicodemus, we have much to think about as we reflect on what we have heard from Jesus of Nazareth. The birth pains. While at times they're due to external circumstances, most often for me, it's internal, okay? Realizing that I've not been seen clearly, not living aligned to reality in one way or another, from my role in the systemic oppression of others to the reality of family dynamics, these realizations are not comfortable experiences for me. Each time it has a tendency, when it just smacks me, it's a blow to my ego, to my sense of self. And while I'm going through the birth pains, I feel the steady gaze in the unchanging love of the Holy One. I really do. Which is it's an ego blast of its own, incidentally, that my people-pleasing games don't increase or decrease the overflowing acceptance and love of God for who I am. It's mind-boggling. It's soul-stirring. It is simply there and always will be that love for us. It is this love that makes me feel safe enough to work through the discomfort of the birthing process into new ways of seeing and living. In the midst of each birth of the Spirit, I find that there's a certain amount of familiarity and deepening that goes on, which is both comforting and completely frustrating. At stressful moments, I have been known to yell, mainly to my psychiatrist, "I've already learned this one. Can we please go on to something else? There are some things I seem to keep having to repeat my way through and not being finished with." At more calm moments, I laugh at myself and I recite the lines that really reflect kind of what Kyle was getting at. I live my life in widening circles of understanding and touching of people around the globe. Each birth brings me further into the holy place where the Spirit resides and shares her wisdom. Each birth, no matter what the topic is an opportunity, at least for me, to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. For the sake of transformation in myself and in the world around me, each birth invites me to follow that holy wind of the Spirit and be attentive to where it is pushing me. And I'm finding that past my ego discomfort is a richer, more holy comfort. It awakens me to the sacred that is available in every moment, daily and small, to eventful and large. My wanting to know and understand it all right now, I get very frustrated by Jesus saying, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. It is with everyone being born of the Spirit. I think to be in the midst of that wind is to be in a sacred space, a thin place, a liminal place. Something is forming, but until it bursts and is birthed into our world, it remains something of a mystery. Both of my children coming out, it was a mystery. You just wanted to see what it was that they looked like. It's a marvelous process. So with each birth, I push through the pain, I push through the discomfort for the holy comfort and the new beginning that is promised to come. The gospel invites us to enter into the narratives by identifying with various characters and changing as they do throughout the story. In honor of Nicodemus during this Lenten season, let us participate in his and our own new birth. Let's do our part in the process of breaking free of the old and entering into the new and abundant life God has in store for all of us. Now, rather than later, I hope. But of course, it's not going to be just for us. But our lives, the world, are full of vulnerable others who need us. And we need them. Feel the wind when you step outside. Feel the wind and know that God is pushing you somewhere.